Welcome to But Jesus Drank Wine
and Other Stories That Kept Us Stuck. I'm Mead.
And I'm Christy.
And in this podcast, we'll explore the stories that kept us, well, stuck, wanting to drink and not wanting to drink all at the same time.
Join us as we show you that freedom from alcohol does not have to mean a life sentence of misery and missing out,
but actually means living an authentic life full of peace, joy, and purpose.
Okay, we are going to talk about alcohol-free firsts.
AFFTs, baby.
Alcohol-free firsts. Where's the
times?
First times. Okay, first times. And the reason I thought it could be really fun to talk... Why are you laughing at me? The reason I thought that we could be really fun is because I feel like this is another marker of celebration, right?
Yes.
Like throwing out the days and like not being married to like what day you're on. Like this is something that like you can mark your journey, if you will, of living alcohol free is like when you've done one of these alcohol free firsts as a really big, exciting moment of like getting through something, right? And it gives your brain data. Thank you very much. That you can do said thing. And therefore, it makes it easier the second and third and fourth time. So what are you going to say? Because you just are wiggling and bouncing up and down and you're not letting me finish my sentence. What do you want?
Like a little puppy. Chihuahua, want to get in there. It's the proof of progress that we use. Talk about. It's a pop.
You wanted to talk pop.
I wanted to talk about pop, which also I'm like, I love a good acronym. It's also a pop.
You do? What?
Oh, I know. But yeah, like when we can, instead
I
of
look with a pug,
when we, I know it's too far. I totally agree. I've taken it out of all of my writing. I promise we're just going to stick with pop. But, okay. When we can move from when our mindset is shifting from that, what I'm missing out on, that fear-based mentality of like, life is going to be so boring. I'm going to be so boring. Nothing's going to be fun. It's going to be miserable. All of those things that come along when we first are at the beginning of the journey and we, in that kind of like place of lack, and then shift to that abundance of like, this is what I get to experience, highlighting your AFFTs in every, like in every way. I remember my AFFT, you know, the first Sunday that I drove Holland to youth group, it was an alcohol-free first time. Not that I would drink and drive to those youth groups, but there were Sundays that I would let her skip youth group because Sunday fun day, you know, took over. And so a really clear AFFT was for me. But isn't it crazy that one of these small things is one of the things that stands out the most to me is the alcohol-free first time Sunday where I was like excited to drive Holland to youth group. And by the way, the payout, the 2-hour conversation we had in the car after youth group that night, just the two of us, oh my gosh. Like if there was ever a more like, this is where I'm supposed to be moment, it was that. So I just wanted to highlight the big and the small AFFTs. Start looking for them everywhere because that's how you lock in that kind of momentum to keep moving towards, wow, this really is good.
So we're going to go through a list of AFFs. I don't have the T in my lingo, but AFFs. And we're going to talk about if we can remember like what they were like or kind of just shed some light and encouragement on these AFFs. So first alcohol-free date night. My first alcohol-free date night was a double date. So it wasn't actually just with Chris. It was a double date. It was like a really weird in limbo of like COVID where like restaurants were open and they were allowed to be open for 1 hour and you were only allowed to like sit every other table. And it was super weird. It was my very first time seeing anyone doing anything like that without alcohol. And actually, the waitress gave me a really hard time, which like now I can laugh about. But I was like, seriously? Because everybody else got a glass of wine. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'll have a sparkling doodah. And she was like, really? Not anything? You don't want wine? You're not going to have the wine? Why aren't you going to have the wine? And I was like literally just sitting there being like, this is ridiculous. But I do remember from that night getting to a place where like we then that all passed, right? Because it's always temporary. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there and we were just like laughing. Like, and I remember like having this weird out-of-body experience, like almost floating above the table of like, oh my gosh, like I'm having a really good time. I think I'm really funny. I have good chat, as they say in the UK. And I was like, this is really, really fun. And I can do this, you know?
One of the ones that stands out, I don't know if it was my very first, but it was a similar experience where the it was a double date and the other three, Todd included, they all ordered drinks. And when I said, do you have any? So this would have been, I mean, this would have been 2020. So this is before like mocktail menus are a thing, right? And I was like, do you have any mocktails? And she's like, and the waitress looked at me like I was, she's like, no, like a Shirley Temple? And I was like, and so she was offering me a Shirley Temple. And I was like, no, I'll just take a soda and lime, please. Thanks. And it was one of those like where I could have been in that moment of like really upset that, like, you know, and it could have taken me into a totally different place. Instead, I was like, ooh, I get to sit here and order this. And who cares that she said she offered me a Shirley Temple? I'm going to enjoy my soda and lime. And I did. And it was one of those nights where I remember everything about that. I remember the conversation we had. It was good. It was connecting. It was meaningful for me. Yeah. I was part of that. I was plugged in. I mean, the fact that I can recall that means that I wasn't drinking at that said double date. So thanks for reminding me of that.
What about first alcohol-free wedding? Yeah. So because I, again, like did this whole thing in COVID, our first wedding actually wasn't until like I was probably like over 2 years, to maybe three. Yeah, over 3 years alcohol free. And so it didn't necessarily feel awkward. There wasn't any sort of kind of like hiccupy like, you know, 20 minutes that I had to get through. But I definitely noticed that, you know, how the evening progressed in that, like, you started really connected and you were having genuine conversations, and then where it went to, you know, as like people kind of fade into like the alcohol stuff. But I remember like loving the speeches for the first, like I always like speeches. And in the UK, they do it where it's the, I love it because they actually make the groom speak too. And so you always get these like beautiful speeches of like undying love for their new bride, and it's beautiful. So I always have loved the speeches over here, but like that was the first time when I was just like so in the moment of like listening to those beautiful, beautiful speeches. And it was, yeah, it was amazing.
So I'm not sure I've been to a wedding.
Really?
In five years. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm like, I'm not sure I have. Because then, yeah, COVID happened. But also, like, we're out of that, you know, age group where the weddings weren't, you know, don't happen as often. So I'm not sure about that one.
What about your first alcohol-free, like, you celebrating your first birthday without alcohol?
Oh, it was amazing. Well, all of them have been amazing because they've been exactly what I wanted them to be and not what I thought they should be, or and not with the cloud of like, I just remember so much stress leading up to my birthday where it was like, okay, like almost part of that like 10X kind of hustle that was, okay, like this one's got to be, you know, this birthday's got to be this. And we've talked about this before, I know, and it's a little bit off topic, but the way that when I was like stuck in that drinking cycle, or I don't know which came first, maybe it was social media influence, whatever it was, what everybody else was doing, if you didn't have this like big celebration and this, you know, Instagram worthy way of doing it, then you weren't doing it right. And so there was all this stress leading up to my birthdays. One of the greatest gifts of being free from alcohol is that my birthday can be coming up and I can look forward to it with genuine excitement for it being just a day where I do feel, you know, celebrated by my family and honored by my family. And it can be exactly what I want it to be. And over the last few years, usually there's a Virginia basketball game on and there's a fire going and it's my cookie pants. It's, you know, sitting in and so it's nothing like extravagant.
What are your cookie pants?
You know, like, pants without zippers and buttons, like sweatpants or leggings or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you had like pajama pants with cookies on them. And
oh, yeah, no.
I would need a picture of that.
No. No, like, you know, like your pants that you put on when you're like, I'm going to eat a little bit more. Or, yeah, whatever.
We call them cozies over here.
Yeah. Comfies. Yeah. For the last time we called them our uniform. Like, we're like, let's go put our unis on, our game day unis, and we, you know, can't put out the fire at the basketball game. But it's like, if not excited, like someone who is stuck in the drinking cycle, who's listening to this, is going to be like, that's what I have to look forward to. That's not going to sound exciting. But let me tell you, the peace and the joy and the everything else that comes along with that, it's not about the thing that you're doing, so to speak. It's about the fact that you're fully present for what you're doing when alcohol is not part of the equation. Tell me about yours. Yeah.
So my first alcohol-free birthday was actually during COVID, and we had escaped to Florida. And so we were with my in-laws. And so it was actually really nice because it was just literally chilling with family. And so it felt really safe. It didn't feel like I had to go through this whole rigmarole of going to a party and like, that felt really good. And then when I got to the point where I was like celebrating a birthday alcohol-free without and about with girlfriends, like I have the people now that like know that what it's going to be now. And so like, yeah, for my 40th, we did a West End show and like high tea, which was amazing. To the point of, when you get to know what you like and what actually fills you up and all of that stuff and like be intentional around that. So yeah, love that. Okay.
Yeah.
First alcohol-free sporting event. I'm trying to think if I actually have one.
I was like, have you been to a sporting event? What sport?
I don't know.
Sporting events does Christy in the last 16 years you've been in the UK? Is that right? 16?
Yeah.
No, what kind of sporting events do you attend? Polo, tennis?
Good point. Yes. Okay, good point. Yes. My first alcohol-free, the big one that I can remember, it was Ascot, going to Royal Ascot, which is the horse races here where everyone gets really, really dressed up for. We used to love and go and see the queen, and she used to come out in her carriage and was so cute. But that first one, I remember feeling like, okay, this is going to be really weird. This is going to feel really weird because for so many of those events, like, June over here in the UK is like known as the season, right? And the season is like all of the polo and Royal Ascot and Wimbledon and the Queen's tennis, which is before Wimbledon and all these things. And we would go to all of them and I would never actually see any of the sport because I would be drinking in one of the like tents or the hospitality like areas or whatever. And so the first Royal Ascot was definitely weird because it was different, but I saw some races.
You saw the things that you claimed.
And actually, I have to go look it up. I don't remember, but there were two horses. Basically, one was called Alcohol Free. This was my very first
horse.
I swear to you. Yes. There was an Alcohol Free and there was something sober. So it was like God was just like literally like joking with me. And they were owned by 100%. I have a picture of it. I'm going to send it to you after we get off. So, anyways, yes, there was definitely an alcohol free. We bet on it. He came in like third. I won like 35 pounds or something. But so that was fun, but different, but fun.
Well, what stands out to me about the AFFTs of sporting events, now versus when they were in the drinking world, is how long they are. Like, why do we have to go and tailgate for 100 hours before the game?
To get drunk.
To miss the event. And that's what so much of, you know, I went to college, I went to a fun party school and had a football team and all of that. And as I'm talking about, you know, to Holland, as she's thinking about college in the next few years and like, what does she want in a school? And she's like, I want to be able to like go to the, you know, the football games. I want to go to a big school where they have all of that. And I'm also like, I wonder what that was like, because we didn't end up making it into those games. So I'm going back to college days. I'm going back to adult days as well, where it was the same thing, where there was so much focus on the tailgating and the leading up to that. Then I didn't really enjoy the event. And then I had to sit through these events that I wasn't really that into. Well, fast forward to now, where I don't know when this changed, but like when you're talking about like college sports, you now can have like, this is something I noticed when we went to the basketball game at Georgia Tech a few weeks ago. They sell alcohol at the game.
What do you mean?
Colleges didn't. Yes, they did.
At USC, they did. Oh, yeah.
Back when you were there?
100%.
Really?
100%. Wow. Yeah. Which is why you would tailgate and you'd make it into the stadium, but then you would like not actually make it into the actual stadium. You just into the gates of the stadium by the concessions. And that's where you hang out the whole game.
So yeah, and so we would like smuggle our airplane bottles into the stadium because there was no alcohol inside the stadium. But that is something that I noticed is different. Anyway, all of that to say, to get back on track, what I noticed is just, it's like I think it goes back to this overall theme of like enjoyment in the things that we're supposed to find joy in. But when we're stuck in the drinking cycle, we're robbed of. So the fact that I could be there for a basketball game and I can, you know, hear the squeak of the shoes and smell the sweat and hear the, yeah, I mean, that's not exciting, but to be a part of it, not to be like on the outside of it, to be like fully present with it, that is something. And as a, you know, diehard basketball, you know, Virginia basketball fan, like that is exciting. And that is something that in the past, it's something that for sure I would have not been as present for. Not that I would have gotten maybe sloshed at those things per se, but I wouldn't have been as present for. So it makes everything, it's the technicolor that we talk about. It's like Everything is brighter and fuller and more amazing. So it doesn't, you don't need all the extra stuff because just the simple things are. So yeah, not to get all cheesy, but.
Responding to the heartfelt requests from you, our wonderful, wonderful listeners, for a deeper sense of community, we are so excited to introduce y'all to the But Jesus Drink Wine community.
Get ready to be part of an exclusive experience where you'll join a sisterhood of kindred spirits on a transformative journey of faith, sobriety, and personal growth.
You'll gain access to our private community, a place where deep connections can flourish among women who share your aspirations of strengthening faith in Christ and breaking free from alcohol.
But wait, there's more. We'll host regular connection calls to facilitate fellowship with like-minded gals, no matter where you stand on your alcohol or faith journey. Whether you're seasoned or just curious, you are very warmly welcomed here.
Prepare to be inspired by guest expert sessions and engaging Q&As that explore the essential topics for your sobriety, faith, and holistic wellness journey.
Don't miss out on securing your spot. Click the link in the show notes to learn more.
We can't wait to see your beautiful face in the But Jesus Drank Wine community.
No, and that's a perfect like parlay into alcohol-free first vacations, which we've had. We've done a whole episode on that, and so it's a good one. But like that is 100% how my first alcohol-free vacation was. I was able to actually enjoy the reasons that I was there for, which was to rest and connect with family and see a beautiful new place and eat delicious Greek food. And the thing that really, really helped me with that was just the setting of expectations in not focusing on the fact that it might be super awkward because we were traveling with another family who we've done a lot of drinking together. Instead of focusing on like the awkward, you know, meal times that we were going to have together, what I was really focused on seriously was I just kept saying like, what if this is the best vacation I've ever had? Because I've never done it this way before. And it wound up being one of the best vacations because I got all those things out of it that I wanted to get out of a vacation, and nothing was dulled and there was no hangover on top, and I didn't have to take a vacation from my vacation after. And so that was a huge one for me because I was stuck on, you know, on that whole like vacations aren't going to be fun without rosé or tequila for a really long time. Yeah. What about you?
That's, I mean, identical experience almost going on vacation with friends that we used to drink with and that same kind of like uncertainty of like how it go. Like I knew that I had no desire to drink, but there was so much ritual in what we did on vacation together. I wondered how that would be different. And it was like the, like, this is what being on vacation is really for. So I came back from vacation and didn't need a vacation from my vacation. That for me, of all the alcohol-free vacations I've done now, that is the, by far the best part of being free from alcohol is that you could actually go on vacation and not need to come home and take a vacation. Like you actually can use a vacation for what it's worth. Cause then what are you even spending the money for? Like, the time and the effort and all that it takes, it's just a relocation. It's not about, it's just a relocation.
Yeah.
When I was drinking, okay, I won't say like for everybody, but when I was drinking, vacation was a relocation. It was not a vacation. And so that was huge. And going into it with that mindset of like, what what am I going to get to experience here that otherwise I wouldn't? Like, so what have I been missing out on all of this time that I've been doing vacations with drinking? What is available to me now in that? And that is probably my most favorite, tactic for people, you know, when I'm coaching someone through going into those first is like, okay, I want you to find, like scavenger hunt style, find those things that you get to do or get to see or get to notice or get to pay attention to that otherwise you wouldn't have gotten to do, you know, had it been different than drinking. So,
yeah, I love that. What about alcohol first, alcohol-free concert? Mine was Ed Sheeran here in the UK. Mm-hmm. And again, it was like, must have been at least 2 years after I had not been drinking. So I was feeling like solid, you know? But I will say I did notice how many people were drunk. And because it was at Wembley, which is a massive stadium here, massive. And we were in like the seats that he had and like the floor was open. And so there were people dancing, like totally wasted. And no one, and Ella, I think it was Ella or maybe Carter, said something to me like, but they're not even like, they're so drunk, they're not even watching Ed Sheeran. Then I was like, oh my gosh, so true. That's been me a lot of times. I actually went to a Justin Bieber concert with a bunch of girlfriends and we drank so much before the concert that we got in there and we decided he was really boring. He was also having a really bad like time. And so he was really boring, but we left. I don't know what made me think of that.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you like made all that effort, you spent all that money and then and just left. Yeah. So I'm trying to remember which one was the first, but there's been the Dave Matthews Band, which huge, Chris Stapleton, and the difference, what I like notice as, and I think maybe we even talked about this on another episode because I had just done the Dave Matthews one, this past summer too. And it was still, it's like, I've already done this free from alcohol. And yet I'm still like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe how great this is that I get to do it this way now. And you notice even more things. I think that's something that I'm always surprised by is that then I notice more things that even though I've done it a first time, I'm now even noticing more things like not having to be stuck in that bathroom line, not having to plan like which song do you wait for to come on? Like you wait for the bad song, then that's the song that everybody goes to the bathroom and you're fighting the bathroom line. So then if you go during a good song, then you miss your good song. But then, like there was so, I guess I keep coming back to like what is mostly different in these alcohol-free, these AFFTs for me is just my ability to be fully present with what is happening. And that is something that is like worth everything to me. I can like notice everybody. And how many, I'm like, are people drinking more now than they were when I was like, I'm talking about like everybody around us. Is that just, are they drinking more or is it just because I was drinking too and I didn't notice? I don't know. But yeah, something I noticed. Wow, you're here and you're missing the entire show. But that was me. That was me too.
Yeah. That like leads us into like first kind of alcohol free. I don't know if you go to, like, I know you do ballet a lot, but like first alcohol free, like theater or ballet, like because we're so blessed to be right near the West Ends, like we go a lot and Ella's a drama queen. So we go a lot. And I definitely remember like not only just enjoying the show on a totally different level, but not getting to the place where I was like desperate for intermission because I wanted another glass of champagne. And I had, you know, obviously would have always had a few before. And then you're desperate to pee and like then that rush of like, can I get the drink and pee before the second act? And by the time that all goes down and then you're in the second act and then you can't wait for the whole thing to be over. And so you're basically paying all this money to be having this beautiful experience to literally wish for it to be over. That is literally what it was like. And I just remember, I mean, I've been to like a bunch with Ella since, but it's just so much more enjoyable and you can be in the moment and you can catch all like the funny one-liners and actually be immersed in the experience. Actually, now that we're saying this, this December, was it my first? Maybe it was my second, like watching the Nutcracker with her. And it was just like, I got goosebumps. I got teary because I did that with my mom every year growing up. And it was just like, it was so special. It was so special. And I wasn't desperate to get out of there and have another glass of champagne, you know?
The Nutcracker in particular. So my mom always took Holland and me and then Lily Jett when she was old enough. That was like our tradition. And it was always, you know, in the middle of December. So it was the middle of like party season. And I can't remember a Nutcracker where I wasn't hungover going to, so we would go to like a Sunday show. And I mean, the last one before I found freedom from alcohol, I remember being like, I don't know how I'm going to make it to this. Like, and this is something that we look forward to every year, and it's a tradition and all of that kind of stuff. And now going, it's like, it's an emotional experience because of how beautiful it is and how cool it is. And not just because now Lojet dances in it, but I'm so lame. I keep coming back to the same thing here. It's like the full like senses, the full sensory experience that happens when you're fully in it versus what you describe where before it was, you know, like, okay, can I make it to intermission? And then, you know, where are we going to go beforehand? Because I want to make sure I get a good glass of Chardonnay beforehand, because I don't know what they'll be serving at the theater, but it probably won't be some of my favorite stuff. And so I'm going to pick we're going to pick the restaurant based on what kind of Chardonnay they serve. And then we're going to go to that. And then can I make it to the intermission? Can I time it to get the, do I get the drink before I go to the bathroom, or do I go to the bathroom first? All of that noise, like even if we're not aware of that going on, that is happening perhaps in the background. And that is what is pulling our attention away from being able to be fully present. Not only just the fact that alcohol is a, you know, a number, it's a desensitizer. So there's the numbing effect of that, but also just the distraction of all of that noise. It just makes such a difference. Being on the side of it.
I love that so much. And I feel like the living actual life in presently, but like in that technicolor kind of like way, is one of those things that you cannot explain to anybody, right? Like it's something that you definitely have to experience. It's like the when you stop drinking, you have all this mental real estate, it comes back to you, and you have mental peace and you get your joy. Like these are things that we can like, you know, talk about till we're blue in the face, but unless you experience them for yourself, like it's just it is really, really magical.
It's like when we were moving from being in town to moving further out, it's like things weren't awful there. We didn't have to hurry and get out of where we were to be out here, but we didn't realize how much better of a fit it was out here for us and, you know, with our family goals and all of the things. Like, so it's like, I think that's the same with the, when you're stuck in the drinking cycle, is it may not look or feel like it's the worst thing ever. So it might be hard to have that imagination for how much better it can be, because things are bad. Yeah. I mean, we're in that gray area drinking kind of spectrum here. Like this is not rock bottom drinking we're talking about, where like it's end of life stuff that we're trying to figure out. But then once you actually do it, it is hard to explain, because you're like, wow, I had no idea how great it could be and how miserable I was stuck in that. Not when we were living in town, we weren't miserable, but the drinking stuff for sure.
There's so many more that like we can go over. We don't have to like riff on them now, but I'll just like say them. And again, this is like the point of this is to have like celebratory markers, right? Like of things. And if we can leave you with encouragement of like the first time we did things, like I don't think we haven't had one bad experience. And I'm not saying that that's going to be true for everybody, obviously. And I'm not saying that there weren't, you know, moments of like first dinner parties and first girls' nights out that were like weird for a little bit, for a hot minute. But I think the theme of this episode is like actually enjoying the thing that we're going to or being a part of, as opposed to like totally dulling it down, like numbing it out and all of that stuff. So, I mean, other AFFFFFTs are like first alcohol-free girls' night, first alcohol-free kids' birthday party. And I wrote that one on my list because I don't know how it is where you are, but here in the UK, every single kid's birthday party sale has first alcohol-free anniversary, first alcohol-free barbecue, first alcohol-free book club. And then all the holidays, right? New Year's, Valentine's, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, like we all have like first, we could go on and on about for all of these. But the point is that like, it might feel awkward for the first 10 or 15 minutes doing these things for the first time, but like, then you get to actually experience them for real, like for real in Technicolor, like present and all that good stuff. So I don't know. What's our, do we have a Tina? What are we doing?
if you're at that part of your journey where you're considering taking that leap into like maybe not asking the question of like, how could these things be different? What is one area that I'm curious to find out could be different and better, maybe better? Maybe what these girls are saying, like maybe what they're saying is true.
Yeah.
What is one of those places that you would like to maybe experiment with? And that's maybe where I would say,
not lying to you guys. Maybe we're not lying. Maybe it can be better.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So just, but like, again, like don't take our word for it. Try it. So it doesn't have to be once you're like free from alcohol and alcohol doesn't have a pull over you anymore. You can simply decide that this Saturday night, wait, what's today? Whatever. If you're listening to this on a Monday, this weekend, Saturday night, you're going to have an alcohol-free first. You're going to have AFFT on a Saturday and you're just not going to drink that night. And you're going to be curious about what is available to you as a result of not drinking on this Saturday night, a night that normally you would be drinking in some shape or form. You're just going to be curious about it and you're not going to judge it. And you just have to, we're going to be curious about an hour. If every day when I get home from work at 4 o'clock is when I start thinking about it, and you're going to go from 5 to 6, you're going to be curious if I just delay drinking by an hour. Yeah. An AFFT could be, you know, 5 to 6 p.m. That could be an alcohol-free first time. And just be curious about what's available to you that's different. I think that, I mean, it always comes back to that, right? Like that experimental mindset, that curiosity around what could be different. And then the pointing to like what was different. And this is why these are the good things. And these are the collect that data that tells you, that helps inform where you want to go.
Another way I think to ask that, right, is how many times have you done this thing with alcohol? And how many times have you done this thing without alcohol? Yep. What are you assuming to be true about the experience without alcohol when you've never, ever done it before? And what else could be true, right? Like, what could be true? Could it possibly be the best vacation? Could it possibly be your 5 to 6 p.m. could actually give you a little bit of R&R? You know, what else could be true? What are you assuming? It might not be that bad. It might be okay, and it might be better.
It may not be best. I mean, that'd be great if it was, but it might just be better too. And that's what we're looking for, the difference. So I love the way that you worded that better. So let's scratch the first tiny Tina and let's focus on that. I love it.
Banged it on.
That's good. That's good. No. I think that's really, really good. Really helpful.
All right, my beautiful friends. We will see you next Monday.
See you next week. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us again this week. You can find all of our episodes at butjesusdrinkwine.com and be sure to follow us over on Instagram, Love Life Sober, and I'm Not Sober, I'm Free.
To learn more about what we do, you can visit our websites, meethollandshirley.com and lovelifesober.com.
Take a screenshot of this podcast and share it with a friend or two.
And don't forget to subscribe to our pod so you don't have to worry about missing a single episode. And if you love what we're doing, please leave us a review on Apple and Spotify.
This helps more women who are feeling stuck and alone in the overdrinking cycle find hope and encouragement.
Thanks, ladies. We so appreciate you. And we'll see you next Monday.